Welcome back, everybody, to Developing Courage. We are doing a special episode today. We do not have a guest in the studio, but we were given an opportunity to review a local attraction here in Louisville for our listening audience. A little bit of a backstory. I contacted Christmas at the Galt House via Twitter to ask them about coming to look at their kaleidoscope exhibit.
You're so techie.
I'm so techie. Yes. I use my hashtags and my Twitter.
You've been
handle.
Tweeting.
I've been tweeting, yes. I've been learning how to tweet. So I contacted Twitter via their hashtag. No.
Handle.
Their handle.
Maybe you're not so techie.
Not so techie. Via their handle at Christmas at the Galt House and asked them about coming to look at their exhibit called Kaleidoscope, which they have every year, to review it not just for mobility purposes, but also for our listening audience that may have children with some sensory processing things. I figured that the Galt House had already looked at the setup for somebody in a wheelchair and being able to get around, but I thought maybe they hadn't looked at it as something that might be a little more challenging for a child that had some issues with different senses.
So, I really loved this assignment.
Yeah, I like this.
I loved walking through and thinking about it from some of the perspective of our little kiddos and their parents. Design and not architecture, but, you know, just how things are laid out has always been a real interest of mine ever since OT school. So I love it when people have well thought out plans ahead of time when they're going through the process of putting something like this together. So I loved looking at it from that perspective.
Absolutely. So Kara and I actually went on different days and I think at different times of day, which allowed us, you know, as we've chatted, talking about preparing for this, to experience it in pretty different ways, but come to some of the same conclusions about Kaleidoscope. So, you know, first and foremost, we need to thank the people at the Galt House for allowing us to come out and take a look at it and review this.
Absolutely. My first detail is, don't go during a U of L game because the Yum Center where U of L plays is right next door. So, and they apparently share the Galt House parking garage. So we ended up in the middle of many, many crowds of people headed to the Yum Center.
Which is probably not good for most people, but really not good for our children that have some sensory processing issues or for our families that are trying to push a wheelchair through the crowds.
Or for parents.
Or for parents.
Just trying to hang onto their kids' hands in a parking garage. Yeah. So we went on a Saturday in the afternoon during the U of L game, which we already discussed, but we didn't know exactly where to park. So just as a heads up, there are two sides of to the Galt House, two towers, an east tower and a west tower. We parked in the east tower and about the fourth floor. Because, you know, as soon as we got in on the ground level, I'm looking for parking and, you know, all the signs that say, you know, get in here. You really don't see much until you hit the fourth floor. Now, maybe if it had been less crowded, it may have been more obvious to me. But just so you know, the entrance from the east tower, if that's where you park, is somewhere around the fourth floor. But if you park in the east tower, it's going to be a pretty far trek to get to Kaleidoscope, which is actually in the west tower. So another option is just park in the west tower because we can give you that information now.
Absolutely. And as someone who was pushing a stroller through this exhibit, one of the issues that we came up with was the elevators were really, really crowded. Now, I do think we got there about the time that everybody was checking out of the hotel. So we got down there.
I hadn't thought about that.
We got down there around 11 o'clock. And so we were waiting on the third floor and waiting for an elevator to get us to the second floor to enter Kaleidoscope. And every single elevator that opened was full. And really, we had no options because it was a lot of steps that we would have had to carry a stroller or an escalator, which wasn't going to work for us. So we probably waited about 15 minutes for an elevator.
Wow. So you did park in the west tower?
No, we parked in the east tower.
Okay.
And had to cross over.
Yeah. And the crossover, just so you know, between the east and the west tower is called the atrium. It is a glassed in Pedway, mm-hmm. but it has a small bar and a restaurant. You can eat there. But just so you know, it also has a few nice pit stops. Like if for some reason you do get caught in the East Tower, or if you're in the West Tower and you just kind of need to get away from everything, they had the centerpiece, exhibit or display that had birds in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of calming. Like my kids like to stand there for a minute and watch the birds. They have live goldfish in the bar, in the atrium. Not that you want your kids, you know, bellying up to the bar, but if you found, if you found a corner, you know, fish are always calming.
I think I did see somebody sitting there having a coffee, and I think they did have a big bowl of goldfish crackers, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, you know, if you know that ahead of time and you can kind of plan on that. The thing about the atrium, I think I mentioned it, it's all glass. So it is one spot where you can kind of chill out in natural light. You know, there are so many kids that have aversions to fluorescent lights or lighting changes, and this is one place where you can go. Now, they did, at Christmas time, they had lots of twinkle lights hanging on the ceiling. So be aware of that. But in general, it's a more, you know, diffuse natural light in that area. And again, if you can, look at the birds, look at the fish, catch a few goldfish crackers, it's a nice place to take kind of a calming break if you need one. So that's the atrium in between the west and the, or the east and the west tower.
And that's on the third floor. So you, when you go
correct.
In, yes.
Correct. So if you parked in the east tower like we did, enter around the fourth floor. We did go down one level to get across the atrium, and then you go down one level again in the West Tower, correct?
Yes.
This kaleidoscope's on the second floor. Okay.
Yes.
So just a couple things to think about. You know, some kids from a sensory perspective need a lot of input. So if that's your kid, you know, you may want to park in the East Tower, have them wear some heavier rain boots, or their, you know, some kids like Under Armour shirts that are kind of tighter under their regular clothing, that kind of thing. There weren't too many loud sounds or anything, but some kids, you know, may like to wear earmuffs just because they're walking through a lot of background noises or volume changes and that kind of thing.
And I will say, on that note, with the noise, I would look at the daily calendar of events, because when we were there, there wasn't a lot of stuff going on in the lobby. However, I think every afternoon they have the dancing bellmen.
Oh, and, yeah.
that is probably really loud. And that would be something to be aware of if your timing is going to be around when that show is.
Yeah. Good call on that. So, you know, just be prepared if you're, you know, some kids like to chew on things for calming. Just whatever your preparatory things are that you do before you're going into a semi-stressful environment, take those same things along with you here. And like I said, if you need a little more alerting input on the way in, you can park further away and cross over the atrium like we've been talking about. If you have a stroller or you know that you need to get in and out as quickly as possible, make sure you park in the West Tower.
Absolutely.
So the second thing I always look for is bathrooms. So now we're in the West Tower on the second floor. You took the elevator in your stroller.
Yes.
I did not. I have no more stroller-worthy kids. So we took the escalator down one floor, which was no biggie for us. Wasn't busy at all or crowded at the time that we were there. The bathrooms are kind of right when you enter.
To Kaleidoscope.
Not to Kaleidoscope, but coming from the elevators and the escalators.
Yes, and that area is also where Santa is. So when we were there, Santa was available, and there was a line to be able to get your picture with Santa. So that's another thing to think about, your timing. The Kaleidoscope hours are slightly different than the Santa hours at the Galt House. So depending on what your agenda is for the day, you may want to think about that in terms of crowds. The Santa, the opportunity to visit with Santa, and you actually get a videotape of your child talking to Santa, is a free gift from the community, from the Galt House to the community. And it's pretty neat. My children all sat on Santa's lap, and I have three, but one is a baby. But both the boys told Santa exactly what they wanted for Christmas, and we got the video via email about 48 hours later.
That's sweet. It's free, and you can share it with your friends and family. Cute. Yeah,
it was very cute.
Cute. I think that we missed that because I was probably super focused on finding the bathroom and making sure that my three-year-old used the bathroom.
Yes. Kara's in, I'm in stroller phase. She's in potty training phase. So.
Let's see. Just a visual that I wanted to give you in general. Just, this is a big picture thing. You have to keep in mind that the Galt House is a very old and historic hotel. So when you think old historic hotels, usually there's a lot of dark wood. There's usually heavily patterned carpets. You could go from, you know, an area of older lighting, like a fancy chandelier, to a newer area of lighting, like something with fluorescent lights, to some of the Christmas twinkle lights and that kind of thing. So although none of it was particularly obnoxious lighting, there were a lot of lighting changes. So if that's something that bothers your child, one tip you could try is having them wear a visor or a hat. I suppose some kids might go so far as needing sunglasses, but to me it was kind of a pretty dim environment. But I thought the visor would at least kind of block some of the changes that were happening as you go from one place to another. Now, another good tip, as soon as you get in the West Tower, on the second floor, I believe, they start having giant arrows on the ground. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice the arrows.
But they're giant arrows that say, you know, this way to Kaleidoscope. So if you have somebody who doesn't need a whole lot of visual stimulation or has trouble with those types of transitions, have them wear the visor, but also have them look down and be the person in charge of spotting all of those arrows. And if they're looking down, that will kind of help, I think, with a lot of the lighting changes that happen until you get into the actual exhibit.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Thank you. Okay, so the very first thing that you get into when you enter the exhibit is the part that's called Kaleidoscope.
Yes. And one thing I think to remember is right after you pay, you show your ticket and you go in, you then have to go outside for about 40 or 50 feet. So just be aware of that. We didn't have to put jackets on or anything again, but you do have to go out a door, and it was cold, and then go through an area that looks like you're inside a big candy cane.
That was probably one of the most stimulating parts.
I was going to say, visually, that was very
stimulating. It doesn't spin, but just because it's striped and it's tubular.
Yes.
It's, was pretty alerting.
It was very alerting.
I'd say.
I felt like I was entering Willy Wonka's factory. I
mean, yeah. It's also a good, if your kid can handle it, it's a great spot to stop and take a picture.
So then once you go into Kaleidoscope, you go back through some double doors and you're inside. So you're no longer outside in the weather.
Yes. And once you get into, let's see if we can describe these for you. I thought that they were like giant, much larger than life size nightlights. Like they were covered, say you have a big Santa or some other, you know, there are many, many Christmas scenes that are in this area. One thing that I liked about it was the overall area is warehouse sized or warehouse big, but the background is all black. So again, you're kind of reducing, even though it's a large area, you're reducing some of the stimulation just because the ceiling and the walls are black and all you really see that's lit up are these giant nightlight type things. I was looking up close to see what they were made of, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I nudged him a little bit to see how hard they were to knock over.
Did you not hear the elf warn you about touching the Kaleidoscope exhibits?
I did just a little bit to make sure that some of my little friends wouldn't get into trouble.
Yes.
So I was a little naughty. But they are metal, almost like a cage type form of whatever Christmassy scene is going on, like the big Santa or whatever, covered with kind of parachute material. So it really was, you can run into them and you will not knock them over because it's kind of steel cage like underneath, mm-hmm. but the parachute material is not really rippable. It's very strong. And it was very durable. I thought because you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, you know, this thing looks like it could blow over with a feather, even though it's large, and that's just not true. So,
right.
And I liked that it was very diffuse lighting. I think because we had never been to Kaleidoscope before, I was expecting a lot of flashing Christmas lights, you know, blinky, blinky, blink, which was going to bother me, you know, because some kids with seizures and things, you know, you don't want too much blinky, blinky
yes.
going on. So this was pretty perfect with just the diffuse lighting, very nightlight-like, and like I said, because the background was black. Pretty calming.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty calming. I think one thing to note is that the staff of the Kaleidoscope exhibit, really the staff throughout, were very, very friendly mm-hmm. and welcoming. So if you have a child that doesn't do well with people coming up to them and saying hello or kind of getting in their space, I think that's something to be aware of because the elves really wanted to say hello to all of the kids and they were handing out crayons, and we actually did a little scavenger hunt that I think Kara didn't get to do throughout, and then they were leading us and pointing us to things. So I think that that's a good thing to be aware of, and especially if it's a little less crowded when you go, you're probably going to get even more attention from the staff.
Yes, and if you have a child who really needs structure and needs focus in order to kind of keep control of themselves, please ask about that scavenger hunt, because we really did. We walked in and kind of missed that altogether, so we were just kind of wandering around looking at our leisure. But if you had a scavenger hunt list where they could go around and help check things off, that may, you know, focus them in a little bit.
Yeah, I think there were about 8 questions on the scavenger hunt, and they got you all the way through the entire Kaleidoscope part of the exhibit. And my boys are 9 and 6, and my 9-year-old was very into it, trying to answer all of the questions.
A couple other notes about this area. The acoustics were pretty good. I also stomped on the floor, also a little bit naughty, but again, it's all for the kids. It didn't echo. It didn't reverberate. It was kind of a diffuse sound. You know, it's probably particle board or something that was on the floor. So if you stomp on that, you don't get a whole lot of feedback from that, which is good, you know, for an area where you have a lot of kids running around. There were a few mirrors, only in one or two of the giant nightlight mm-hmm. looking things. So if you have a, you know, mirror loving kid, just kind of be on the lookout for that. And maybe if you don't want to get stuck there, you can steer them through that area pretty quickly so you don't get stuck. And they had just kind of instrumental Christmas music playing, but it was very soft. Again, it, you know, nothing too alerting. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Nothing accosting was going on inside the Kaleidoscope exhibit.
Right. It was really kind of explore, mm-hmm. explore as you go. But again, if you're kind of busy and moving around a lot, there wasn't a whole lot of risk of tripping over a lot of things or knocking things over or anything like that.
No, and it's all level. There were a couple places where you could go up some steps to look at a couple different things. There was a train, I think, that you could go up a few steps and
right.
look at. And there was also I think it was snowmen that were ice skating or something that you could go up and over a little bridge and then back down again.
Yes, there was a bridge like that. I do remember that.
So for mobility purposes, you could easily push. I was pushing a stroller, but you could easily push a wheelchair through there. Or if you have someone that is a self-propeller in a wheelchair, they could easily navigate throughout the exhibit.
I did see a few adults that were in, you know, a power seat or a power chair. And that's the thing. I think, you know, if you have a child in a wheelchair, it's going to be fairly easy for them to navigate because they're already expecting that, you know, adults in larger chairs and even, you know, a power chair is even larger. So
right.
that they are expecting that those people will come through. So they've already have a good setup on the ramps going from one place to another. So that was the Kaleidoscope part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you leave that area, we went through more double doors, correct?
Yes, you go back through the candy cane that you went through to get into Kaleidoscope. And then you go down a short ramp and through a door into the next part of the, I think they call it still the Kaleidoscope exhibit, but you're out of where the lighted part was.
Right.
And the only thing I noticed there was that if you did have someone in a wheelchair and you were pushing them, you'd probably need a kind person around you to hold a door open for you so that you can navigate and get the wheelchair through. The space was wide enough, but it wasn't an automatic door.
Okay. I do remember that too. So when you enter, it's called, I have written down gingerbread area. It's not a gingerbread forest, but it's, when you go through that double door that Lauren just mentioned, you're going from the big warehouse space with all the lights to, you're basically going back inside a hotel kind
right.
of space
right.
where there are smaller Christmassy exhibits, but you're going back into the pattern carpet and the chandeliers and the, all of that. Now the first thing they have that you see when you go through that double door in the gingerbread area is a bunch of model gingerbread houses. So again, have a plan if you have somebody with fast and impulsive hands, because there's lots of candy that looks very delicious and could potentially be plucked off of the smaller models. And there's also a giant
yes.
gingerbread house.
And that was right. That was to the right when you walk through those doors.
Correct.
So you can also know that and maybe start directing attention to the left if you're worried about that being an issue.
Correct. They have options off to the left that are much better for busy hands, like some crafting areas that we'll get to in that. But that area to the right with the gingerbread houses was the first place I felt like this area is a little bit congested for strollers and wheelchairs.
Yes. And as someone pushing a stroller, I totally agree with that.
It's one way in and one way out.
Yes.
Of that little area. It's not too big. You know, you're not going to spend too long. It's just kind of go through and look at the little gingerbread houses and come back out and go to the rest of it. But
yeah, it seemed like there was a lot going on right in that space, though. There was the gingerbread houses on the right. There was the green screen video on mm-hmm. the left. And then in front of you was a crafting area. And then also the, I think they called it Santa's Workshop, which was an area where you had to pay a little bit extra to do that part of it. But it was all within the same, probably 30 by 30 foot area.
Right. So there are a couple different scenes to go through. And in this area, I would say if you have a person who's kind of overwhelmed by the scenes, again, when you walk through the double doors and the gingerbread areas to your right, all the other stuff is kind of either in front of you or off to the left. Off to the left, kind of behind the Santa video area, there's a giant wall where you can draw on it with dry erase boards. So if you need a chill out spot, head for the wall and just let your kid, you know, draw as long as they need to and then go back out and maybe see some of the other exhibits.
Yeah, and that is a giant wall, so there was plenty of room for.
And there was a helper there to
yes.
help with markers and kind of make sure everything stayed under control. There was also an area. As far as, you know, busy hands, there was also an area where you could make a snowflake. So, you know, for kids that are doers, that's a good area. There was another area right by the Santa video place where they could write a letter to Santa, I think. So there were a couple of hands-on, you know, mm-hmm. tabletop kind of experiences where you could land and do something busy.
Yeah, and the write a letter to Santa is right where the line is to do the green screen video with Santa. So it was a good,
yes.
you know, if you're having to sit in that line and wait, it was a good place to let your kids sit down and work on an activity while you're waiting in that line.
True. So talk a little bit about the Santa video. That was really cute.
The Santa video.
I don't know if I'm going to show you ours, but
I think that Kara's video definitely should be available because it's fabulous. But what it is, it's the big green screen, and there is a sleigh in front of it, and you can get in the sleigh, and I didn't get in the sleigh because I was on the other side with the baby in the stroller, but the sleigh, the scene is that the sleigh takes off and flies around Louisville, right?
Yes.
And then you you can see what's going on so that you can interact appropriately with what's happening on the green screen behind you.
And they have scarves and little, you know, Christmas headbands, antlers, and that kind of thing to put on. So if you have a child that has a flair for drama, they're going to love this area.
Yeah, it was really, really cute. And do they email that video to
you?
They
do.
Okay.
Also free. You can post it to Facebook. Let all your friends see. That's what my husband did.
Oh, yes, he did. I did see it on Facebook.
He loved that. He said, you will act as silly as you possibly can.
Yes, it was adorable.
Okay. If you say so.
It was.
Okay, so in this area, just to kind of go back for a minute to the visuals and the acoustics and the overall setup, this is, you know, an area with carpet mostly. There was a, what was that fairy spot? The snow fairy.
I think it was the snow princess.
A snow princess. You had to go up a ramp. So, you know, that part, there were a couple level changes here. There were a couple flooring changes going from the carpet to more of, again, kind of that, what's probably just particle board or mm-hmm. something, you know.
Just a raised platform.
And then I believe there was, a parquet floor, or part of it was kind of hardwood in a different area. So a couple different level changes here. You said when you went up to see the snow fairy with the stroller, you had to carry back down because there were steps going down, correct?
It's pretty much a one way. You go up a ramp, you say hi to the snow princess, you can get your picture taken. And then to get out of that, there were two steps. And so we had to lift the stroller with the baby to get down. I think if it was less crowded, you probably could just backtrack and go down the ramp again if you needed to, which is probably what you would have to do if you were in a wheelchair.
Right.
Because wheelchairs are going to be too heavy to try and lift and go down two steps. And the corners are a little bit tight in that area, so depending on the size of the wheelchair, that might be something that a caregiver might want to just walk up and kind of navigate first before you would push the wheelchair up and start to have some issues.
Sure. And in general, in this whole area, I think, again, the noise is going to come from the people, the background noise of the people. But other than that, pretty good acoustics in this area. You know, the soft Christmas music, again, because there's a lot of carpet in there. Or, you know, even the hard floors don't reverberate very much. Mm-hmm. Acoustics are fairly good in this area, especially if it's not too busy with people. Now, one thing... Once you're this far in, you know, I was thinking about my 3-year-old having to go to the bathroom again, right? So I'm thinking it's kind of like IKEA. You go in and it's like, how do we get out? You can only get out from, you know, going all the way through.
Right.
So I said to one of the elves in this area, what happens if we have to get out now to go to the bathroom? And she produced this magic key and said, you have to walk out and you have to have our magic key to get out. And then get back in.
Oh, okay.
So be aware of that by the time, you know, again, if you feel like you're so far in at this point, you may need a bathroom break. Find one of the elves' stat, or maybe the Charles Dickens that was there, and get the magic bathroom key.
So you have to go back to the same bathrooms that were
I believe
towards
so.
The entrance. Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
A little bit of a trek, but at least you know that you can get out because you can very plainly tell there are no bathrooms directly in this area.
Right. Right.
So you do have to have a pass to get out and get back in. Be aware. So after the gingerbread village area, oh, I forgot one thing in this area. Again, if your kid has fast hands, there is one very display oriented area that's kind of further, through on your way to the candy cane village.
Right.
So if you need to divert from that, that's not too far from the drawing wall.
Mm-hmm.
You could go over to the drawing wall and kind of take a back exit and go on to the next part, which is the Candy Cane Village, which is where the train guy is. What was his name?
Ernie the Engineer. And the Peppermint Express is the name of the train in that area. And one thing I noticed going into the Candy Cane Forest area is that all of a sudden there were a lot of lights.
That's what I noticed. There were a lot of lights. The walls were pretty much covered in shiny things. Mm-hmm. And some of you have kids out there who love shiny things. There was the train, which made it acoustically louder because mm-hmm. there was the bell and the whistle. So there was a kid riding around who actually had a train whistle, you know, so that was pretty much louder than the other areas. And they have a whole bunch of mechanical Christmas displays, which I love because it's part of my childhood. But if you have someone who is a lover of mechanics, the displays are not too far out of reach.
Absolutely.
So, one recommendation, if you feel like you just, because I'll go ahead and say this is the most, stimulating part of the whole thing, I think.
I would agree.
If you feel like that's not for you, there would be a way for you to go ahead and exit and not even do this candy cane village, because it's basically, when you go in that candy cane room, it's like a loop mm-hmm. that goes around the train where you see all the displays and then you come back out where you started.
Right.
So you could just
skip it.
Skip it. Go straight on out from that point if you need to do that.
But I think one thing to remember is that the train that the children can ride on is in that area. So if you think you're going to be skipping that area, don't talk about the train, because the kids might be asking you where the train is.
Right. And if you think you're kind of on the borderline, you know, your kids would enjoy a train, but maybe once you're in there, it could become too overstimulating for them. You can give them a job. Like, for instance, if you make sure that you can try to get, or request the first seat on the train, that person gets to ring the bell.
Yes.
So if you have control over the bell, you're more likely to handle the auditory input of the bell a little bit easier, usually. There is a singing tree.
Oh.
Which my kids found a little bit spooky. But again, it kind of added to a louder environment in this particular area when you put the tree with the train and the, but it was fun. It was also very fun. Mm-hmm. So, if you have somebody who is maybe on the lower arousal end of things, you know, they may benefit a lot from this area.
Absolutely.
Because it's very alerting.
Yeah, my kids liked looking at all the mechanical animals and all the different scenes of the things that they were doing. And they also enjoyed riding the train. We were there at a great time, so there wasn't a long line for the train. But that's something to think about, too, that if there's going to be a line, you may want to kind of look around at the exhibits and think about maybe some jobs that you could give your kids, you know, to count the animals or, you know, to find some task that the kids could do while they're waiting in line for the train. The train went around about 6 or 7 times in the loop before.
Maybe not when we were there.
Okay.
Maybe 3 or 4.
Okay. 3 to 4 to 6 to 7 before it would stop and everybody would get off and get on again. So there is a, you know, it took a couple minutes each ride.
And there are some benches outside the train area. This is one of the first places I could remember there being a very visually obvious bench.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, it's kind of near the end. So if you have someone who gets fatigued, there are several benches here that you can take a little break and maybe watch the train go around a few times before you continue on. For strollers and wheelchairs, this is one of the tightest areas for me.
Yes.
Do you think so?
Yes. It was, I mean, I could maneuver through it, but had it been more crowded, it would have been difficult to push the stroller through that area.
Mm-hmm. And I even thought, you know, by the time I had my third child, I had one of those wraps. I might, you know, if that's an option for you, you might even think about skipping a stroller altogether and going with a wrap mm-hmm. for this, because there's so many things to see. They might just keep on looking and be content to be in the wrap.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Versus a stroller. And that way you can maneuver a little bit easier. I saw a mom kind of right in the middle before you got in the candy cane village. She was right in the middle of the gingerbread area trying to feed someone who looked like an early infant, you know, not a newborn, but so not too many quiet places to do that, probably.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, and I don't know if this was there when you were there, but the snow fox was there from...
No, we did not see the snow fox.
The Fox Channel here in Louisville. And it's a big fox. And, you know, it looks like a college mascot, the snow fox. So, and he was sitting on one of the benches right before the entrance to the Candy Cane Village. So that's another thing to just kind of keep your eye out for, because if that's something that's going to scare your child or be a little too overwhelming, you know, you could probably kind of circle around and avoid that also.
Watch out for the fox. Okay, so after you're finished with the Candy Cane Village, you pretty much exit through the gift shop.
Yes. And I think one thing we should talk about is right before that exit to the gift shop, you're going back through that kind of tightly congested area where the video is being made. There's some crafts. That's also where the Santa's workshop is. That is an extra fee with Kaleidoscope. But from what I understood from what one of the elves told me is that you gather stickers throughout the exhibits. And then at the end, you turn in your card and you get to pick a toy out of the workshop. I wasn't allowed into the workshop because we hadn't paid for that part of it. But I did peer through the windows and it just looked like there were baskets of goodies that the kids could go through and pick out something. But that area is a little bit congested. So, and I can imagine as the crowds get bigger, it's really hard to navigate through there. But mm-hmm. then right from there, you head into the gift shop.
But that may be another good idea, just like we talked about in the Kaleidoscope part with the scavenger hunt type thing, to keep focused.
Absolutely.
To have an objective, you know, to kind of scan and look for some things.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
To get a prize so that your focus is on really looking and not knocking over.
Yes.
So whether or not you skip that last little loop of Candy Cane Village and you're going out through the gift shop, just be ready for that. You know, do a reverse countdown procedure if you have to get yourself through the gift shop. Because I thought, you know, upon entrance, I thought if I had a wheelchair or a stroller, I would have a not very direct path to get through
yes.
this gift shop, you know, with someone who at this point might be melting down. You'd have to go around a lot of fragile things.
Yes.
So you may have a strategy in place, you know, a timer that says, you know, we're going to stay here 2 minutes and then we're going to go, or we're going to sing a song as we go through, you know, whatever your strategies are for being ready to get out of that type of environment.
And that is also where you turn in the scavenger hunt card. And you get a candy cane, but that is right at the exit. So that might be another motivator to kind of get through the gift shop if you need to encourage your child that they need to get up to the front to the cashier to turn in their scavenger hunt card and get their prize.
Mm-hmm. One sensory piece that we haven't talked about much today is the sense of smell. You know, some kids are really super particular about smell. I am hard of smelling, but my 8-year-old is super smeller. So I had to ask her, you know, what does it smell like in here to you? And she said, oh, it smells like Christmas. Whatever that means. You know, did you notice anything about the smells?
No. So it must not have been anything too overwhelming.
Right.
And my kids didn't mention anything about the smells during it.
I mean, if you have a super smelling kid, they're going to find the odors in there and tell you all about them. But
sure.
Overall, I don't think, you know, again, that wouldn't be something that would be off-putting
right.
about this environment.
Right.
So overall, I really give it a thumbs up for acoustics. And, you know, it's again, it was kind of everything was low and diffuse light. Not a whole lot of flashy, flashy, blinky, blinky. No Clark Griswold lights going on in here. You know, lots of places to stop and do things with your hands or kind of touch and feel as appropriate so that you don't have to do that in some of the areas where it's just looking.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with Kara. I think overall it was a great experience. My kids had a great time. My middle one has some auditory processing issues and loud noises do bother him. And he had a great time the entire time. There wasn't anything from an auditory perspective that bothered him. So, yeah, I think that with a little bit of planning, you and your family should be able to go there and have a great experience.
Now, you did one extra thing that we didn't do, which was having lunch with Ernie.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Before we went to Kaleidoscope, we went up to the, I'm not going to remember, the very top floor of the Gauld House, which I want to say was 26th. But we could see the entire city from the room that we were in, which was pretty
neat. Oh, that's cool.
Yes, the boys really liked that. And we had lunch with Ernie, the conductor of the Peppermint Train. And it was a lunch buffet and a make-your-own ice cream extravaganza. There were probably 20 toppings to put on the ice cream. And a decorate-your-own cookie station.
We should say that's an extra fee above and beyond your ticket. So this was an extra experience that
it was a paid experience. A paid experience. However, I think your ticket for Ernie's lunch included a ticket to Kaleidoscope.
Okay.
So my only recommendation for that part of it is that the buffet was a little bit limited. So I would, if you've got a really picky eater or you've got a baby or a toddler with you, you may want to call the Gauld House and ask them what the menu is going to be and just prepare accordingly to that.
Sure.
And but the boys loved it. My middle one is really into trains, and they had a whole train set up where he could watch the trains go around. The kids got a conductor hat and a bandana when they walked in, and they got a train whistle, which was really fun for all of us. And the lunch lasted a little bit over an hour, and then we left there and went down to Kaleidoscope and did everything else that we've talked about.
Okay. Sounds good. So I loved it.
I loved it too.
I would go back and I would, you know, I think that this is probably a good thing for kids out there who maybe can't tolerate everything. They could probably tolerate this with a little planning.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also found the staff to be very helpful. So if you, you know, if you have a child that you're really concerned about how this experience might go, I would call and talk to the staff of the Gauld House before you go and ask them about what times are going to be better for you to go and experience it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So they are open this year, which is, we're recording this in 2013. I believe they're open until January 1st.
Yes.
Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
So if you're not able to benefit from going in 2013, we'll re-release this, you know, in coming years, because I don't think that it changes a whole lot. You probably want to call if you're listening to this in the future.
Yeah, and we can also call and kind of verify with the Gauld House that things are fairly similar so that we're not giving false information about the exhibit.
Yeah. So we encourage you to check that out. And we're super excited about 2014. We've had a great start in 2013. Just to do a year-end review, we released our first episode in August of this year, kind of introducing ourselves. And then we've had 9 podcasts since then. This is episode 9.5, where we're reviewing Kaleidoscope. But we just this month in December went over 500 downloads of our show, which is just incredible, I think. You know, when we started this, we knew we wanted to help people. We thought that we could, but that it's, you know, being listened to by that many people already is just an incredible blessing, and we're so happy.
Yeah, we're really, really excited about how things are going and that people are responding to this podcast in the way that we hoped that they would. We knew we had information to share, and we knew that we had people that we could talk to that could give information that was important for everybody. So it's exciting to see that it's being listened to the way that we hoped that it would be.
Yeah. We have a whole bunch of topics that we think would be great for 2014. You can drop us a comment on our Facebook page for Developing Courage, or you can leave a comment on the website if you have a particular topic that you would like to know more about, and we'd be happy to schedule a guest who's an expert in that area. Another way that you can help is by sharing the episodes. There's 3 basic ways that you can do that. One is when we release a new episode, you would know about that because it comes up on the website. We also release it to our Facebook page, and we release it on Twitter. Those are the ways that you would know that something new is out. And if you see an episode, whether it's new or old, and you say, hey, you know, this reminds me of my friend so-and-so, you know, they're going through this or something like this, and they could really benefit from listening to this, please share it with them. And the ways that you can share it is to send them a link from the website to that episode, just through email, like you would link anything else. And they can listen off of that link from your email. You can share, hit the share button on Facebook when we release a new episode. If you have someone come to mind, you can share it directly to them from Facebook. And you can also, when we release it to Twitter, if you see it come up on there, you can retweet that. And that's another way that you can share it with other people who could benefit. So we love it when you guys like something on our Facebook page, because it lets us know that you're paying attention and that you're listening. But sharing it is really the way to get it to more people who we can help and who could benefit.
Absolutely.
So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
And Feliz Navidad.
We will see you in 2014.